So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
The page two of Pass Catchers, we talk about those just off what we would consider to be the wide receiver slash tight end one, wide receiver slash tight end two. Again, I evaluate tight ends as pass catchers just as I do wide receivers. But we're going to talk about those that may or may not be worthy of your starting lineup right now, may or may not be worthy of being on your team right now. We have a month of data. The bye weeks haven't kicked in. We're recording this on Thursday morning. So it's prior to Falcons Bucks. Whatever happens in that game, you have to factor that in on your own. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast that is presented by Hooters. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area, visit originalhooters.com for information on their 11 locations, easy online ordering. Keep in mind, some locations have been impacted by Hurricane Helene. I thank Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. If you'd like to ask me personally about pass catchers that have been on your team the first month and whether they are still worthy of being a starter for you, whether they are still worthy of being on your team at all. I'm going off a page in my scoring settings that Yahoo offers. They allow you to rank things by 25s. So based on wide receiver slash tight end ratings, and no, there are no tight ends in the top 25, those pass catchers 1 through 25, kind of based off an average 12-team league, suggests 1 through 12 would be wide receiver 1s. Then 13 through 24 would be wide receiver 2s. Drake London sits at 25 through 4 weeks. Sorry, it's early. And I think that's sort of evident of you've wanted more from Drake London. Are you going to get it? I mean, he's a guy who has only been a top 5 fantasy wide receiver in 2 of the weeks that he's been playing National Football League. Are better days to come, or is this about what you're going to get with him? It's still very early in his career, starting to be talk about whether or not he's a true wide receiver one. A lot of questions around the Falcons, and the Arthur Smith excuses are long gone. So let's look at what's there starting at 26. Take the names and then discuss how we feel about them being in your lineups or on your bench, or if it's time to move on and find something else. Are they worthy of your roster spot that you're committing to them? Number 26, and this is in my standard scoring settings that I've used for many, many years. Number 26 is Terry McLaurin. And McLaurin took a big leap in week 3. Was good in week 4, is the clear wide receiver 1, barring a Davante Adams trade for Washington, which would get a lot of attention around the NFL if Washington was like, yeah, let's go for this. But McLaurin is certainly, and I'm fortunate that in one of my leagues, somebody cut him after 2 weeks. So I have him on the same team where I drafted Jaden Daniels to be my starting quarterback, so I can stack those guys in a lineup. McLaurin might be someone I start some weeks and some I might not, depending on what else I have available. But at this point, yeah, I think we make the case that wide receiver 2-ish sounds about right. He's wide receiver 1 on his team with a very capable quarterback. Debo is wide receiver 27, missed a game due to injury, then came back. The numbers are, they're okay. He's touched the ball 28 times, 12 of those on handoffs, using him more in the running game without Christian McCaffrey, even with the production of Jordan Mason. So just the one rushing touchdown, no huge rushes. Like, so his average per carry is a little over 2 yards, 12 rushes, 27 yards, one touchdown. Doesn't have a touchdown receiving. Those are coming. So yeah, Debo certainly worthy of a roster spot. Probably someone every week he's out there. A lot of, you know, you kind of think of Debo the way when Tyreek Hill has a quarterback, you think of him. Because at any point, on any play, he can touch the ball and score for you and do something big. Ironically, Tyreek Hill is listed next. And Tyreek Hill owners are starting to experience that, what are we going to do here? Waiting for the return on the investment. Because the season appears lost without Tua Tagovailoa, which, as I talked about in the Todd Wright Toddcast, find that via joebucksfan.com and on separately on podcast platforms. The fact that the Dolphins went into this season without a better backup quarterback situation, considering the history of Tua and what he clearly meant to this team and this offense, is a fireable offense for the Dolphins that they ignored this. That Carolina has a better backup quarterback situation than Miami. And I think we'd all agree, Carolina looks the least like a better team than Miami. So there's a lot of blame to go around there in South Florida. Wishing to, would love to see him play again, would understand if we don't. But from a Tyreek Hill standpoint, you're kind of wondering if you even play him until you see a reason to get him back out there. And it's now more about Hill's body language, him explaining his actions, talk about him going back to Kansas City. I don't know how viable that is. That's a tough situation. At 29 is the first tight end, which is a lot higher than it was a couple weeks ago because of Goddard's big game in week 3 against the Saints. And with Brown and Smith out, he's been the number one guy in the passing game for Jalen Hurts downfield, taking Saquon Barkley's receptions out of the mix. Goddard is someone right now you can probably start relative to no Devontae Smith, no AJ. Jalen Naylor just keeps scoring touchdowns. He's got 8 catches and 3 touchdowns. This is like a late 1990s tight end on the goal line for Naylor, but 137 yards. So it's not sustainable. He also has a fumble, by the way. It's not sustainable. And then you're going to have you factor in the Jordan Addison. But I'll bring up what Jay Croucher said about the Vikings. Because Justin Jefferson is performing at a wide receiver one level, a top 5 wide receiver in fantasy football. But Jay Croucher very intelligently described the Vikings offense as egalitarian. Go look it up. So that is why there's opportunities out there for people like Jalen Naylor. But he's still sort of a roll the dice play each week because he's making the most of his opportunities, but there aren't a lot of opportunities. Devontae Smith is next. We talked about his injury. Then Ladd McConkey is coming up the board. Available in 44% of leagues. Not that you're running out to get him this week to play him because you can't. Quentin Johnston, a lot of red zone stuff, but McConkey is now getting involved in that too. 15 receptions, 176 yards, 2 touchdowns. This is a guy, if you have an available roster spot, you might stash him on your bench and kind of see how the next couple of weeks go. Might be someone you use down the road. as a wide receiver two or three. Trey Tucker has value because do we expect to see Devontae Adams play for the Raiders anytime soon? Tucker clearly has separation ability. There's going to be opportunity here. So Tucker may be someone worth rostering. Not say play him right now, but rostering. Is it Yoshivas for Cincinnati who got off to the fast start? Still going to be involved because clearly Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor like him, but Ja'Marr Chase, clearly the first option in the passing game. T. Higgins should be the second option, but it still seems odd with Higgins playing out the string, supposedly, in Cincinnati. But Yoshivish, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, sits there next in line. Mooney follows. I grabbed Mooney, played him this past week, was just okay. Not good enough for my purposes to get to double-digit points. Mooney has 15 receptions for 225 yards and one touchdown. I think there's potential here. What I worry about with Mooney is I don't know that the Falcons are going to call his number a lot in the red zone. But in terms of moving the chains and an occasional big play to like cross midfield, get down inside the 20, Kirk Cousins may have something here with Mooney. I think he's worth being on your roster. I don't know if you're starting him right now. Jacoby Myers is next. We apply everything we said about Trey Tucker to Jacoby Myers. Dontavian Wicks was a big waiver pickup this week. Again, very Jalen Naylor in the numbers. Jalen Naylor, 8 receptions, 137, and 3 touchdowns. Dontavian Wicks, 8 receptions, 4 yards, 3 touchdowns. George Kittle is tight end 2 and comes next in line. Returned last week simply because the receptions that used to go to CMC have to go to other players. So Kittle will get some of that. Clearly in an outdated mandatory tight end league, Kittle has value in a league, 21st century league like mine, where you can flex a tight end and that's the only place you can do it. You may consider doing that until McCaffrey comes back or as long as Kittle is healthy. Calvin Ridley is next. He's been okay. More wide receiver 3-ish. Nothing about the Titans gets you excited. The Titans are just kind of there. It's a transition year for the Titans with the new head coach, kind of evaluating the quarterback position, maybe evaluating more positions than that. But Ridley's gotten in the end zone twice, one on a run, one on a reception. Probably worth being on a roster, but not a set it and forget it starter at this point. Jerry Jeudy, who was a big disappointment anytime you played him in Denver, he's been because the Browns have been They may be getting Nick Chubb back at some point. That'll help. But the Browns, only team in the NFL to not have 300 yards of offense in any of their first 4 games. So that hurts Jeudy. An inaccurate quarterback with bad mechanics hurts Jeudy. And just Judy's pro career hurts Jeudy. I wouldn't roster him. Devontae Adams is next. Not sure when we'll see him again or where we'll see him again. But if you have him, you're hanging on to him and hoping he ends up somewhere good and then is a set and forget it wide receiver 1 for you. Amari Cooper's next, kind of the same thing as Jeudy. Interestingly, their point production is nearly identical. Wandale Robinson's coming. He's caught 26 balls. So if you're playing in PPR, Wandale Robinson has more value. It's a lot of short stuff, but he's involved. I mean, Malik Nabers is going to Malik Nabers is a wide receiver one right now. Dale Robinson, again, has more value in PPR, but he's involved in the Giants offense. Right now, if you don't have Nabers, it's maybe you start Singletary at running back and maybe you start Robinson as a wide receiver two if you're really needy, wide receiver three if you play that many. DJ Moore. I expect DJ will get it going. DJ Moore has always made the most of less and played with quarterbacks or an offensive systems that struggle. So the fact that Caleb has struggled as much as he has, even though the Bears sit there, what, 2-2, with a head coach who has no involvement in offense, and even when there's a meeting between players, quarterback, and coordinator a month in the season, and the head coach isn't even involved, is very telling. But Moore's all right. I wish I owned him. I currently don't. I don't know that I'd play him every week, but he'd be an option for me every week. Because he does good things. He runs good routes. He makes it easy for quarterbacks, even struggling quarterbacks. Pickens is next. You kind of know what you're getting with George. Now, if Davante Adams ends up in Pittsburgh, that significantly diminishes Pickens' value, although it may take some tougher coverage away from Pickens where he can thrive. I had Pickens for 1 week this year, then cut him for Deontay Johnson because I thought just Johnson would make more plays. There's always potential there with Pickens. He seems to be his own worst enemy at times. And the fact that Pittsburgh wants to be so ball control run oriented. Even though Justin Fields isn't calling a significant amount of quarterback runs, I think he's something like sixth in the NFL in quarterback runs, which is high, but for Justin Fields' talents, you would expect it to be a little higher. Then Cortland Sutton, Bo Nix, obviously has some issues as a rookie quarterback, but the Broncos won a couple of games. Very strong defense. Just trying to do enough offensively to complement a strong defense and not and allow the defense to do their job without giving up short fields. Sutton at this point, available in 31% of leagues, maybe rosterable, not someone you're starting every week. Then we get to Garrett Wilson. What did I tell you leading up to the start of the season about the Jets? And Garrett Wilson was a very popular wide receiver one, first or second round fantasy draft pick, and not by me. I was down on Breece Hall, and you saw Breece Hall unable to do anything with two goal line touches that may have cost you in fantasy, just the way it cost the Jets in the game against the Broncos. And Garrett Wilson is way down on the board. 20 receptions, 191 yards, and one touchdown with a healthy Aaron Rodgers through 4 weeks. And gets the Brian Flores Vikings defense next. Are you still playing Garrett Wilson? Stubbornly, probably, yeah. You're not cutting him. If you could trade him and get back value similar to the draft pick you invested, I'd do it. I would do it. 48, 49, and 50 are Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, Christian Kirk. I'll say this about Christian Kirk. Many of you remember how the Jags threw big money at him a couple years back. If the bottom falls out of the Jags over these next few weeks, they got a home game against the Colts, which they'll lose if Flacco plays, independent of what's going on with Taylor. Doesn't feel like Taylor's going to go. Again, factor in your own info. I'm doing this Thursday morning before we know about their quarterbacks and running backs. We're still not sure Doug Peterson gets on the plane to London because they're going to be over there 2 weeks with their coach in London and make him get home on his own. Christian Kirk could be someone the Jags trade. They could. They're not going to trade Brian Thomas. Kirk, there are teams out there who are clear playoff contenders who could use another experienced wideout. And I'm not saying Kirk comes in as their wide receiver one, but a guy who can help him out. Kansas City may be in the market for another wideout. I don't think Mark Davis wants to send Devontae Adams to the Chiefs. That's just the background of the Raiders and Chiefs. I don't think Tyreek Hill goes back to Kansas City. But a Christian Kirk, and you're saying, well, what's the point? Kirk's good enough for Reed and Mahomes to make him relevant for another Super Bowl run. He is. I got nothing to go on here. But the Jags could be sellers leading up to the trade deadline, and that strikes me as a player that they could sell. Quickly through 51 through 75, and if there are players on this list, not where you wanted to be after 4 weeks, although Brock Bowers is there as tight end three, then Adunze, Isaiah Likely, really with one big game, Isaiah Likely is tight end four. We'll add to this. The Mark Andrews thing doesn't seem like it's going to get better anytime soon. The only thing that seems to be holding Isaiah Likely back is either the play calling of Monken or Lamar Jackson not throwing to Isaiah Likely. So I think there's value in Likely. I mean, he's still tight end four for crying out loud off one game. The talent is there. JSN is next, then Tutu Atwell with all the Rams wide receiver injuries. Komet, Jalen Tolbert, yeesh. Jalen Waddle's way down the list. I saw someone I like on Twitter basically say that it's returns. You can't. I agree with that. I mean, we're talking about whether you can play Tyreek Hill and how you kind of do it and you close your eyes. You can't do it with Waddle until we see something different. Then Cup, we're waiting for him to come back from injury for our Muth. Then Xavier Leggett. I own him. Probably going to play him this week. He looks the part. He is Dave Canales' first draft pick. He is heavily involved in snaps, routes, in an offense that looks competitive with Dalton as quarterback. So the arrow on Leggett is pointing up and still available as we do this broadcast in 72% of leagues. Then Bateman, then Pittman. Could Pittman get a spike from Flacco? You would think. And if he doesn't, then sadly something's wrong with Michael Pittman. And we may have seen the best of him. Flacco being in there would help Pittman unless it just isn't going to happen this year. And we're in an unfortunate part of Pittman's career where he's closer to the end than we thought. Tyler Lockett next, then Taysom Hill, both of those guys with injuries. Dalton Kincaid. The Bills have had an interesting first 4 weeks. The 3-1 looked great in three wins, looked really bad in the loss to Baltimore. So they're more the former than the latter. Josh Allen has finished one game and is healthy. Not finishing those games keeps him healthy. I'd love to see Devontae Adams end up in Buffalo. And let's face it, he has a pro resume that says he can catch balls in the cold outdoors. I'm not sure why Kincaid hasn't been more involved. Maybe it's just because of the play calling, what the Bills want to do, the game flow. But I, like many of you, expected more. Then Tucker Kraft and Ray McCloud. He's involved with the Falcons. He's right now kind of at the edge of your bench or a bye week plug and play. He's got to touch the ball in games. Keon Coleman has already had some issues in Buffalo, was benched for the first quarter of a recent game. McDermott admitted as much after. 8 for 1, 26-1. Looking at it this way, though, with Keon Coleman. For as much as all the Bills pass catchers aren't catching enough balls, right? This offense is primarily Josh Allen doing things, spreading it out, and James Cook getting RB1 opportunities. Keon Coleman has as many catches and yards as guys like Jalen Naylor and Dontavian Wicks. Calvin Austin, then Trey McBride. Bride had a touchdown. He fell on a fumble in the end zone. I know he missed the game due to injury, but I thought all the buzz leading into the season on McBride was way, way, way inflated. And as something I've talked about off the air and on the air, no fantasy team lines up against a tougher fantasy schedule based on the first 4 weeks of stats than the Cardinals do for the next 2 to 3 months. It's kind of insane. I'm sure at some point some weeks will look better. But right now, if you click on Kyler Murray's upcoming schedule, if you click on Marvin Harrison's upcoming schedule, if you click on Trey McBride's upcoming schedule, James Conner's upcoming schedule, you're going to see a lot of reds there, a lot of 20s and 30s for productivity based on the opponent and what the defenses give up. Some of it will get better because it has to regress to the mean a bit. It can't stay this way, but I wouldn't be trading for any Cardinals right now. I wouldn't be on a tiebreaker until further notice. If it's a Cardinal offensive player and a player from any of the other, not any, most of the other 31 NFLs don't play the Cardinals guy other than Marvin Harrison. Because obviously he's going to get receptions and make plays. And ironically, the last name on this board after Hopkins, Brown, A.J. Brown injured, Kevontae Turpin, is Michael Wilson down at 75 because that one touchdown in his 14 receptions. Email me at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com with your fantasy questions. Good luck this weekend. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters.